Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 41. Which of them would love him most? Luke 7:40-42. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? It is inevitable that our personal experiences with Christ will vary from person to person. Sometimes, especially when one is trying to build a monolithic religion, it becomes a problem that all who come to Christ do not experience him the same way. It cannot be avoided that the one with full revelation of their wretched condition before their judge will appreciate his forgiveness more than one who considers himself to be relatively clean in his sight. In this story, Christ asks, which of them will love him most? Both of the men in the story were absolved of their indebtedness to the king. Both received the same gift, but the value of the gift was different because of the assessment of debt owed by the recipient. Simon was struggling with comparisons. We all struggle with comparisons. Let's digress to the incident that started all this comparing and doubt. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet, behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. This afternoon, Jesus was to eat with Simon the Pharisee. It was obvious that Jesus had won this Pharisee, and caring not for his reputation, Simon invited the Lord Christ to dinner. Prior to visiting Simon's house, we can safely assume that Jesus had met this woman before and imparted to her forgiveness. It's not known for certain who she was. Some say that Simon the Pharisee was also a leper, and that this account and the story of Simon the leper coincide. Some say this woman was Mary Magdalene. Some say Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Some say an unknown local girl. One thing's for sure, she certainly did make a mark upon history that will never be erased.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked.
The questions of Christ became a curiosity to me because of their depth and scope, but more so because of who asked them. Albeit some of the questions asked by Jesus Christ were rhetorical, that is, ask for effect, or ask more to provoke thought than to solicit an answer. Some questions Christ posed were asked merely because he wanted an answer. For some, it makes them uneasy to think that Jesus did not know the answer in advance. We've been taught that Jesus knew everything, as if he were some sort of mind reader or telepathic. The scriptures do not support this idea. It is therefore only conjecture. Poor conjecture, in my opinion. When the scriptures state, Jesus knew their thoughts, as in Luke 6:8 and Matthew 12:25, they simply speak of perception. Jesus was infinitely wise and extraordinarily perceptive. and he knew mankind better than they knew themselves. As John states so perfectly, but Jesus knew all men, for he knew what was in man. I've been frustrated with books that assume that I, the reader, have the same literary background as the author. I want you to feel no such annoyance. There'll be no quotes from Greek poetry here, but you will find an abundance of scripture. May I assume that you have a familiarity with the gospel accounts of the life of Christ? If you doubt your level of familiarity and want to reread the gospels, this devotional will make a good companion for such an endeavor. The context and background of each story will prove to be a rich source as well. What a wonderful journey writing this was for me. It was always a joy to discover a new question and explore it. When the end of the Gospels was drawing near, I felt a sadness as if I was losing a magnificent opportunity to visit with the Savior each morning. As I edited the work, going back through it and reading it as you will, I was pleased to find my experiences repeated and yet somehow were richer than before. I'm happy to share these devotionals with you. I would love to know that you receive them in the same richness of spirit that I did.
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
One owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? If we consider for a moment she was Mary of Magdala, or a woman very much like her, there was much to be forgiven. For out of Mary had come 7 demons. Her life was led in such a way as to finally become shattered by forces not understood, habits and compulsions untamed, and sin uncontrolled. Can we even imagine the quiet hours in this woman's life? Can we for an instant set aside our lives of ease and peace and plenty and mentally place ourselves into her living torment? Can we imagine her waking in the middle of the night when all was quiet and the hustle of life could no longer quell the voices and turmoil within her heart? When her conscience is at full volume and her mind races, listing and relisting all of her wickedness and enumerating her sins? The hopelessness and helplessness of such a one, far from her Redeemer, would be more than one could endure. In a moment of unimaginable internal distress, we can easily imagine her looking heavenward and crying, unable to even ask, and for what she does not even know. One day, our Father heard her unspeakable prayer and guided Jesus to meet her. The rest, as they say, is history. The scene changes to the house of Simon the Pharisee, a man of impeccable character and high in the community. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. Here she was, an uninvited woman of no good reputation, approaching Jesus from behind. Jesus was obviously kneeling, as his feet were behind him and out of his own sight. Simon sees her and rages within himself and even begins to doubt the Messiah's ability to perceive wickedness in the worst of people, because our Lord makes no mention of her, nor does he condemn her. Simon squirms and fidgets. The tension is broken for a moment by Christ's statement, Simon, I have something to say to you. He began, There was a certain creditor that had two debtors. Simon's mind reeled as he wondered what this parable could mean. As Jesus finished, Simon heard the question, Which of them would love him most? He answered almost without thinking, for the answer was so obvious. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Whew, Simon thought, that was close. But then the application of his answer started to become real to him. Sometimes we're too quick to judge those who do not do it the way we do, as less than we. Sometimes we're too quick to label those less animated than we are as stodgy or stiff or uncaring. We also call those whose excitement and volume may exceed ours as fanatical or superficial. Though we receive the same grace and power from the same God, perhaps He found us at different stages of our degradation and sin. Or it may be that we've never fully realized our true condition of sin. After all, from God's perspective, was there really much difference in Simon the Pharisee and this woman of ill repute? Awareness of the sin of which you've been forgiven obviously will make a great difference in your level of devotion. You should realize by now that this revelation of your condition before Christ found you is highly valuable and could greatly affect your excitement, dedication, and commitment. Seek your Father for that revelation. Compare yourself to men like Job, Daniel, Noah, Moses, David, and others with whom your Father was pleased. You'll also begin to understand your true condition when you evaluate yourself in the light of the holiness, righteousness, and purity of the God you serve. After you've filled your mind and spirit with these scriptural examples, you must turn to the Father and ask Him to make this fact real to you. As your heart opens to receive this revelation, you'll change. You'll change into another person, one who cannot look and condemn, for you'll be one who loves much, because you now realize you were forgiven of much. Your next revelation will likely be shame for the old mindset under which you previously operated, and how ridiculous it was for you to claim any righteousness at all. It is possible to be unaware of the total work of Christ in you, and it is possible to forget what Christ has done. But it is impossible to be fully aware of your condition and yet despise your fellow man who loves the Lord. If you must make comparisons, here's one to make. After you are supernaturally enlightened to your previous condition, and after you realize the self-righteous delusion under which you've lived, you may then compare yourself to the way you were, to the former person you were, sanctimonious and blind, and ask, which of them would love him most?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.